In Isaiah 61, Isaiah the prophet speaks by the Spirit of the Lord, and he speaks to a people that is mourning. And the answer to those people that are mourning, those people that their lives are wasted, have been laid in waste, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer today for those that are mourning, for those that have lived lives that are troubled, that foundations have been cracked, difficulties have dominated your life, the answer for your life is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he sent me, Isaiah said, to bind up the brokenhearted. The Bible says that he to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Thank God that there is a Savior named Jesus Christ who came to heal the brokenhearted, to take those that are captive and to give them liberty, those that are in prison to open the prison doors and to see them walk free. Jesus Christ provides that for every sinner. That is the message here in Isaiah chapter 61. But notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." This morning, as we continue our series on sure foundations in the home, I want to preach on this thought, repairing the foundations. Repairing the foundations. The life of your family is important to the Lord. It ought to be important to you. Your family life is more than doing some things together. You may use the same toothpaste as somebody else in your family. Maybe you don't. You may do things, you eat together, you sleep in the same house. You may have argued or fought one time or another. You see, the family is under attack from the enemy in every area. Today, dead feelings exist between husbands and wives. Today, years have gone by in some family relationships without communication, without seeing each other on a holiday, without a birthday card even being sent or a phone call being made. Today, relationships in families are under attack. Today, parents and children exist and coexist in the same home, but with no love being expressed to one another. Today, the foundation of trust in the family has been broken down in marriages because of pornography and affairs and deceit and dishonesty. The foundations have been attacked. Today, the foundations of personal commitment are broken down, as it's easy as ever to check out of a family. In fact, it's as easy as it was to become a part of it. We must understand that the root of our problems in the family lies in the disobedience to God's principles. That is where the problem lies. But, as in Isaiah 61, where God wanted to take the old waste places and wanted to build them up, where he wanted to repair the desolation, so God wants to do the same thing in families today. God is in the business of repairing the foundations of the family. You must understand that family problems that you may be experiencing in your life are a part or are the way they are because of spiritual warfare. It's not your mate, and it's not your parent that you're at odds with. It's not your child. It's the enemy behind those people. It's the enemy that is attacking your family. Satanic forces are behind the conflicts that we experience. The greatest problem where cracks occur in the foundation of the family, get this, the greatest problem where cracks occur in the foundation of the family is with me. Oftentimes, in family counseling, the finger's always going somewhere else. But ultimately, we must realize that the greatest problems lie with me. I contribute trouble to my family. I'm a sinner. I'm bent on living after the flesh. There's a side of me that wants to live after the flesh. There's a side of me that wants to follow the ways and the philosophies, the values of the world. That's part of me. That's my makeup. And if we would understand that many times the cracks in our foundations in the family begin with me, then we could understand how to work on me. And if I work on me and let God change me, then guess what? I become a better family member. And by becoming a better family member, I make our family better, or God makes our family better through me. I want you to turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, as we begin the message, I want to give you a number of truths that will help you to repair the foundations in your family. James chapter 4, and I want you to look at verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among," and the word is "you." Wars and fightings within a family, that's not the way that God meant it to be. God meant the family to be a place of peace, a place of harmony, a place of joy, a place of love, a place where you could come that would be a retreat from whatever else you might be facing from the world. That's what God set the family to be. But he says in James chapter 4, verse number 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye not think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." What's going on in this passage? What's going on in the passage is there's fights going on. There's war, there's conflict, there's contention, there's strife. It's happening between people. And what James brings them to is you. The reason the problem exists is you. And you are part of the problem in the sense that your lust, your desires, the overwhelming drives in your life, those things are causing wars and contention among you. They war in your members. They war in your mind. They war when they come out of your lips. They war in your life. They are warring in your life. And as they war in your life, it creates a war with others. It creates fights. It creates conflicts. It creates contention. It creates an instability in your home. It creates foundations to be cracked. Why? Because you have a problem in your life, and the problem is lust. Oftentimes when we think of a lust, we only think of a lust with the eyes. And certainly the Bible speaks about that as one of our enemies. But we have all kinds of lust in our hearts. One of the lusts in our hearts is to change the people that we live with. I want to change them. I'm going to make them change. No, you're not. No, and the harder that you do that, the harder that you work at changing somebody else, you know what happens? It backfires. And it creates tension. And it creates conflict. While you're trying to attain this lust that I'm going to change them to be into the person that I want them to be, I'm going to control them. I'm going to rule them. I'm going to change them. And it's a lust. And it's a lust that controls individuals and homes today. There are other lusts that we deal with in our lives as it relates to the home. There are lusts of envy when a mate is successful, or when a mate has relationships that are growing and there becomes a jealousy. That can become a lust in a home. There can be a control. There can be a lust for more time with someone. There can be a lust to have every child perfect in my home. And I've got to do everything that I can so that my children never make a mistake. Good luck. But we as parents have this lust of being able to say, whoa, my children are great. My children are top flight. That's a lust of a parent. And then a child makes a mistake, and now I can't handle my child making a mistake. I go crazy because my child made a mistake, because my child sinned against the Lord. And parents live with lust of holding expectations higher than what children could ever fulfill and cause a tension in the home because of it, because there's a lust that I can't be embarrassed by my children. Listen, there are lust folks in the home that are creating all kinds of problems. And the lust is the problem. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from the lust that war in your members, from something that you have to have at all cost, from something that you have to control at all cost? We're control people. We're control freaks is what we are. And sometimes those controls become so dominant in our lives that they cause us to treat people in a wrong way. And that happens inside the home. And lust warn our members. If you're going to repair a foundation, you've got to recognize the problem. Could it be the problem in your home is not someone else? Could it be that the problem is really you? In this passage in James chapter 4, over and over and over again, you see ye, you, your. Look within. Look inside. Find the beam in your life instead of picking apart the motes all the time in all of your other family members' lives. Work on you. The greatest step to repairing a foundation in your home is to realize that you have problems. Stop pointing fingers. Stop blame shifting. Do some personal inventory. It's time for you to humble yourself. It's time for you to resubmit yourself to God afresh, as James chapter 4 says. It's time for you to draw nigh unto God. It's time for you to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's time for you to act on those things. Not always accusing others of not acting on those things. It's time for you to do personal inventory. If you're going to repair the foundations, it begins with you. It begins with you purging yourself. Number two, if you're going to repair the foundation, you need to renew your spirit towards each family member. Turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. In Malachi chapter 2, the prophet Malachi is speaking to the men of Israel. The men of Israel had a big problem in their homes. It was how they were treating their spouses. In fact, the Bible says in these four verses, he deals with the men and he deals with them saying, "You have treated your wives treacherously." I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." God was not making an allowance for anyone here. God was not making an exception. God was not looking and listening to the men and saying, as the men were saying, "But you don't know about my wife." He said, "Let none deal treacherously, or you have no reason, there's no valid exception that you should live your wife, treat your wife treacherously as you've been treating them." In fact, in verse number 16, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously." See, you can't deal harshly with a family member when you've taken heed to your spirit. The scripture here says, take heed that you don't deal treacherously. Take heed to your spirit that you don't deal treacherously. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means that I've got to purify my spirit towards my family members on a regular basis. I've got to cleanse my spirit. When one gets under my skin, when I get frustrated with one, when I'm ready to blow up, I've got to purge my spirit. I've got to take heed to my spirit. Brethren, if we're going to repair the foundations of our home, if you see some cracks starting to form and you see some things coming up, you see some things, hear some things coming out of mouths, and you see some dangers, you have to understand that some foundations need to be repaired. And one of the foundations that has to be repaired is for you to renew your spirit and each family member renew their spirit toward one another. Well, they don't treat me right. Renew your spirit. Well, preacher, you don't hear what they say to me when nobody else is around. Renew your spirit. Take heed to your spirit so that you don't come back and deal treacherously with them. See, when one deals treacherously in a home, what is the temptation for the other to do? Come back treacherously. When we get back into treacherous exchanges, if I could use that terminology, guess what? We are breaking away the foundation. We are hurting our foundation. We're taking a jackhammer to the foundations of the home and just penetrating the concrete, penetrating the solidity, the stability of our home. When we do not renew our spirit, when we treat one another treacherously, that's what's happening, my friends. So to repair that, what do we need to do? We've got to take heed to our spirit. In fact, twice in this passage, he says, take heed to your spirit. Hey, get your spirit under control. Hey, release those things. Hey, don't hold on to those things. Hey, get a right spirit, a free spirit, a clean spirit between one another. That has to happen in the home. That's repair work. That's personal repair work in our hearts. Renew your spirit. Psalm 51:10 said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You can't have a clean heart and a wrong spirit. Cleaning the heart means renewing the spirit. How is your spirit? Ladies, how's your spirit towards your husband? And husbands, how's your spirit towards your wives? Children, how's your spirit towards mom and dad? How's your spirit towards your siblings? You know, some of the greatest catastrophes in the Bible are between siblings, starting with Cain and Abel. Catastrophe in homes. Between brothers and sisters and siblings that can't get along and foundations that have been eroded a long time and people that will not renew their spirit towards one another. And I challenge you this morning, if you're going to repair a foundation, it will require you to renew your spirit towards your family members. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Thirdly, if you're going to repair the foundation, not only do you have to look at yourself and realize that the problem may start right here, you have to renew your spirit, but thirdly, you have to recommit yourself to learning and practicing biblical love. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Recommit yourself to learning and practicing biblical love. Folks, I want you to get this. Relationships do not coast very well. You know, in the car, if you're going downhill, you can coast and pretty much maintain the same speed, maybe even go a little bit faster depending on how many people you have in the car and how much weight's going down that hill. But when you go uphill, that coasting begins to slow down rapidly. Our family relationships don't coast well. They require practicing biblical love on a continual basis. Biblical love, there's probably no greater passage that we find biblical love explained than in 1 Corinthians chember 13, verses 4 through 8. What is biblical love? May I review it with you this morning just by reading these verses? It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly, It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. True biblical love has a number of characteristics here. Number one, it's not about self. It doesn't vaunt of itself. It's not puffed up. In a relationship that is filled with love is filled with the best intention for the other person. That is biblical love. It seeketh not her own, the Bible says. That means it seeketh the welfare of the other person. It's not easily provoked. Love, biblical love, is not easily provoked. It means you don't snap at the drop of a dime. It means that you're not easily provoked. You can go a long time before getting provoked in that relationship. That is biblical love. You say, preacher, you don't understand. My husband, all the different idiosyncrasies that he has, it just gets under my skin. I just can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. Biblical love. Not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It refuses to think evil about a family member. It rejoices not when they sin. It rejoices in the truth. It's kind. It's kind. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. Brethren, this is biblical love. And if you're going to repair a foundation, you better get back to the understanding and practice of this in your life. You better put this into that relationship. Regardless of what's coming the other side, you better put this into that relationship. You better work at it. You better take self and put it aside and say, I'm going to live my life for the other. I'm going to give myself to the other. I'm going to love. I'm not going to be easily provoked. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to think evil. I'm not going to let my mind dwell there on my family members. I'm just not going to do it because biblical love needs to be practiced in my life. In order to repair the foundation, you must make a personal choice to recommit yourself to understanding biblical love and putting it into practice. Preacher, I don't feel any love for my mate or for my parents. Did you see love as a feeling in 1 Corinthians 3:13? Not there. It is a choice. It is a choice. That means you need to act according to 1 Corinthians 13 without feeling. You need to be kind whether you feel it or not. You need to be long-suffering whether you feel it or not. You need to think no evil whether you feel it or not. Because love's not feeling. Love is commitment and love is choice. And if we're going to repair foundations, then we're going to make biblical choices to love according to what the Scripture says. Otherwise, the foundations are going to continue to crack and fall apart and your family's going to sink unless we give ourselves to repairing the foundations. One of those foundations is to recommit yourself to biblical love. Number four, resist the temptation of running from trouble. If foundations are going to be repaired, they're not going to be repaired by running. Moses fled to Egypt because of trouble he created. Remember when he killed the Egyptian? And he fled. He fled because he's afraid he's going to die. He's afraid the king was going to take his life. But he fled, and he may have thought it was going to last 6 months. It lasted 40 years because Moses ran from trouble. You don't run from trouble and repair at the same time. Jonah ran from God's will in his life. Elijah ran to the juniper tree, and it led to suicidal thoughts and great discouragement. Adam and Eve hid or thought they hid from God. Run and hide when there's trouble. Sometimes family trouble requires spiritual warfare. It requires prayer. It requires wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you have run away from your mate, run back to her or run back to him. If you have a runaway mentality with your parents, I can't wait till I get out of the house when I turn 18, then run back in your mind and your heart. Take heed to your spirit. Realize that there's probably some lusts that have grown in your life that has caused that tension. Recommit yourself to love and resist the urge to run. Confess your thought processes of running from trouble. You can't repair or rebuild anything by running. Remember, running really gets you nowhere. It's the opposite of what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think that running will help the matter. The devil wants you to think that running will resolve all the issues that you had with that individual. When that's not the case, running doesn't get you anywhere. Run your race. Part of running your main race means staying in there with your family. Your family needs you as a dad, mom, brother, son, daughter, grandparent. Don't run from these God-given responsibilities, these privileges, these opportunities that God has given you. Running from conflicts, running from trouble, running from consequences, running from turmoil, running from stress, running from life. Get this, it will all lead to regret someday, not a remedy. Running leads to regret. It doesn't lead to remedies. Study the people in the Bible that ran. Well, preacher, I can't take it anymore. Now, where did that thought come from? It came from the devil because it's focused on self. It's focused on I. That didn't come from the Lord. The Lord's not telling you to run. The Lord didn't give you that thought. That's a self thought. That's an opposite of love thought. Opposite of love is lust. And we go back to James chapter 4. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. If I could just get out of this family situation, all my stress would be gone. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. You're not going to get out of all stress in life. That's not going to happen. Do you believe God wants you to quit on your marriage? On your children? On your family? People of character and conviction stay true to commitments. They wake up to a fresh day with their commitments in place. Lord, it was a bad day yesterday. It was a tough day. But Lord, one of the greatest gifts you give me in life is a new day. And Lord, a new day to keep my commitments, to keep my responsibilities, my duties, to keep the roles in life that you've given me to keep. Repairing foundations requires staying put. Repairing foundations requires staying power. It often requires difficult steps. Sometimes involves surgery, which is painful. But that's life. That's the Christian life. In fact, according to Matthew 18, sometimes it involves personal confrontation. Somebody going to somebody else. Talking things out. Apologizing. Making wrongs right. Brethren, that's the biblical way of resolution. Not running. Not running from something. Running from relationships is an opposite application of godly wisdom. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and look at verse number 17. James chapter 3, verse number 17. We ask for wisdom, do we not? I hope you ask for wisdom. The Bible says, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. What is godly wisdom? Ephesians or James chapter 3 gives us clear godly wisdom. Verse number 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Can I just be frank this morning? Somebody on the run is not easy to be entreated. That's not biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is somebody that's easy to be entreated. Oh, we got a problem? Let's talk it out. Somebody's approachable. That's a good word that ties in with this phrase in the scripture. That's biblical wisdom. Running is not biblical wisdom. You know what you're going to do? You're going to run from one problem to what? Another problem. Because life and people are full of problems. Running doesn't build anything. It's not working towards peace. You say, preacher, what else is important if I'm going to repair the foundation of my home or work at repairing some foundations? Remember, God is watching. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Remember, God is watching how you treat your family. This verse has been on my heart for about 4 weeks. I read it in my devotions a number of weeks ago. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. You having trouble treating family members right? You having trouble treating your dad right? Your mom? Remember, God is watching. Your ways, your responses, your attitudes towards your parents are before the eyes of the Lord, and they're before the eyes of the Lord all the time. You say, well, preacher, nobody sees the things that I'm doing under the table that my parents don't even know about. Yeah, God does. Your ways are before the eyes of the Lord. Remember that. You want to start repairing foundations? You better get that truth sunk in your brain. You better get it in front of you all the time. My ways, how I'm treating my family, is before the eyes of the Lord. God's seeing it. In Malachi chapter 2, when the men dealt treacherously with their wives, the Bible says the Lord was a witness against you. He saw it. He sees it. Every time you treat your wife in a dishonoring manner, every time that you speak harsh words to her, every time that you degrade her, I want you to know, gentlemen, God sees it. God's a witness. Your ways are before the eyes of the Lord. You want to repair a foundation, you better get back to renewing your mind on that truth. It's not secret. It's not, nobody else in the church knows. I come to church and I can be, look like a Christian, talk like a Christian, sing like a Christian, but I get in my home and I get my anger lets loose and I treat my family members, my children and my wife or my husband in evil ways. Remember, God sees it. Remember, God is watching. You may think that your words behind your wife's back or your husband's back is deceitful. It's covered. Nobody knows, but God knows. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. Lastly, get this. Recognize you can become a better Christian. In repairing foundations, I've given you simple truths this morning. Real simple truths. But recognize that you can become a better Christian. Get busy about adding to your faith instead of woe is me. Man, my family life is miserable. Listen, the devil would have you parked there all day long, every day, all week long, if he could, because it'll keep you from adding to your faith. It'll paralyze you. It'll dominate you. It'll control your thought life. It'll control your life. May I give you the verse in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My family's never going to change. It's never going to change if you're not willing to change. Because remember, part of the trouble in your family is me. Part of the trouble in your family is you. I wish my family could be like fill in the blank. This is a hopeless situation, and I say, gird up the loins of your mind and say, bless God, it may be a hopeless situation. It may not be where I want it to be right now, but I am going to grow as a Christian. Amen. I'm going to put my focus on personal growth in my life. I'm going to let God change me from the inside out. Whatever God wants to change in my life, I pray that He'll change me so that I can become a better family member, so that I can be a better example, maybe to others in my family. No one in my family is interested in church and following Christ. I'm all alone. Then do as the songwriter wrote. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Doesn't matter what else is going on. I have made a personal commitment to live my life for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to grow in my faith. God, you use the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change me. Lord, make me a better person so that I can be a better dad, a better mom, a better teenager in my home, a better grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle. God, grow me. Lord, I want to be the best that I can be. If we're going to repair foundations, these things we need to give attention to. We need to realize, we need to grab hold of, we need to renew our minds on, give effort towards, so that we can repair foundations. The reason Jesus came, my friend, is not for you to stay where you're at. The reason Jesus came is because Isaiah 61 said there's places that need to be rebuilt, breaches that need to be repaired, and Christ can help you do that. There are some personal choices and decisions that have to be made in that direction. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Repairing the foundations. Would you listen carefully with me this morning? I want you to listen to this statement as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The decision to fix foundation problems always costs. Physically, we know that. If there's a foundation problem, it's going to cost some money to fix it. But may I say, but so does it cost to ignore them. It costs to fix them, but it also costs to ignore them. If you have cracks forming in your family, in your marriage, in your relationship to children or parents, if some fruits are coming to the surface that you don't like, if there seems to be a little bit less stability in your home than there used to be, a little less love, a little more of me, mine, then some foundations need to be repaired. And I want to urge you that those foundations start with you. Has the Holy Spirit identified some foundation this morning that needs repaired? Has the Holy Spirit scolded you this morning on how you're treating a family member? A mom, a dad, a grandparent, a child, a brother, a sister, in-laws, an aunt, a husband, a wife? Has the Holy Spirit directed a missile from the Scriptures right to your heart on those fronts? Then it's time to repair the foundation. To everyone else, you're easy to be entreated. You're peaceable. You're delightful. But to your own family members, you're not. God wants that to change. He wants it to change, and He wants to repair foundation. You find yourself always looking at all the motes of a family member, never looking at your own lust, your own contribution to the conflict. Is the biblical understanding and practice of love evaporating from your relationships in the home? Have you been thinking of running from a relationship? Maybe not physically running, but you're running away in your heart. You are distancing yourself from someone that you should not be distancing yourself from. You're happy to leave things undone. Just forsake it. Remember, running is no remedy. It's only a regret. Running is really you taking control of the steering wheel from God. I urge you to renew your mind on that this morning. In order to repair the foundations, you must repair the breaches in your own life. You must renew the spirit in your life. You must take heed to yourself. You must cleanse your hands. You must recommit yourself to biblical love. You must remember that God is watching. Oh, listen, the world's out to destroy families, but listen, God's out to bring families together. God's out to develop loving relationships, a peaceful home. Would you contribute that to that this morning by saying there's a foundation that I need to repair?